that when the king enters, that those who he rules bow. And Lord, I believe that those who have gathered tonight are called by you, called from the king to come to this time where you distribute your gifts. Father, where you scatter your gifts, and Lord, empower your servants. Father, where you love your children. So Father, we just humbly, in a very simple way, express that surrender. We express your authority. And Father, we break the powers of our own pride or flesh. And Lord, we come bow down before you as your people. Lord, we give ourselves to you this night, and we come to hear your word, to be directed by you. And Father, as we surrender to your authority, we would pray now that, Lord, every other claim and every other work, any work of the enemy, any other authority would be broken, Father, as we submit to you. Lord, you say in your word to turn to you, to turn away from our evil ways, Lord, and humble ourselves. And so we do that tonight. We do that, Lord, through our expression. We have done that through the bending of our schedules for tonight. Lord, we come hungry for your word. And so we submit ourselves to you tonight, O God, that you would have your way among us. We would ask now that you would give us ears to hear, and you would give us eyes to see. Father, that we would cast aside our own opinions and attitudes. Lord, that we would not see your people or your church through the eyes of the world, but you, Christ, the head of the church, directing us and guiding us. We have gathered in your name, hungry for your word and your work. And I would ask in this time now, O Father, that, Lord, you would speak to humble hearts, and, Lord, that you would have your way among us. We set ourselves aside for you this night. We cast down every thought and take it captive to Christ. And we ask that, Lord, by your grace, by the wonderful work of your Spirit, and by the blood of Christ, that we would enter into the holy place tonight. We commit ourselves to you now. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Please make yourself comfortable. Be seated. Thank you, worship team. I do believe that we are gathered together by the King tonight, that he has called us together. As Jay said this morning, there were times that he was taken, his brother was not, and he didn't realize, even as he had made decisions, what had begun in the heavenly realms in his life, what new power and new life God had given. And I really believe that there's that sense tonight that you may not even fully understand how you are called tonight by the Spirit and what is happening in the heavenly places as you continue to open up your heart to the move of the Spirit of God in His Word. So I want to encourage you tonight that you're called by the King to hear this Word. And I pray that as you have come and humbled yourself, that you will see a mighty move of the Spirit of God in you tonight. We simply open up our hearts and are so appreciative of Jay coming, and I'm just going to ask you to show your appreciation as he comes tonight to share the Word of God.
On a Sunday night, while we... How about again for our worship team? Pastor came over to me and said that the song at the end, the last song that we sang, the one before that, you may know this, that Brandon wrote that song. Wasn't that beautiful? I said, it's my dream that musicians hear what I'm saying and roll with me. I don't have to dream as much with him. I want you, if you would, tonight, to go to the Revelation. I want to make several opening statements as you get there. I won't repeat this morning in any great detail, and I probably won't say any more about it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. But just so that we know, we have come to Mount Zion. Did you see that this morning? To the city of the living God, to the new, the heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. To the church of the firstborn, the general assembly whose names are written in heaven. We appreciate that. To the spirits of just men made perfect. I didn't talk about that the second service, I did the first. And through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, whose blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. I left the next verse out too, it says, let us be sure that we hear that blood, which we do. It is our beginning. I ended this morning with Him, the mediator of the new covenant. I'm so thankful. This dimension, I broke it in half. This here represents our world, our everyday living. And this will represent Mount Zion, the heavenly dimension. The thing we thought was so distant, so far off, that it is a place that we will ultimately fully dwell in, but it is a place that we have been brought to. We are to experience it. The Revelation is an amazing book. I stayed away from it for many, many years because it was so indoctrinated into me, and I didn't mind that. I just stayed away from it. It isn't a scary book. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is very allegorical. John writes it like any prophet would, though he's an apostle, and he writes what he is seeing. He's not attempting nor desiring, or nor being asked to interpret it. It has been left to be eschatological only, an end-time book. That is not true. Though many of its chapters, especially the last six, will speak to a final day. Please, do not be afraid of a final day. Ever. Because our God, He is great. But I will come to it tonight, a portion of it. Much of it is generational. Much of it is for today and for the final day. Much of it has been, is, and will be. That is how it is written. Are you okay? So I want to go to its allegory. I want to come to a place in it. I want to return tonight to Mount Zion. The Lord's intent always was that what we experience would become a lifestyle, always. It was never to be an experience. It certainly is to be grounded in that scripture. His intent, though, was, though we would be brought here, and we could choose to come once a year, come once a week, come every day, come four times a day, five times a day, a door was open that to whoever will would come and be immersed in this. I cannot live outside of this. I can only breathe that air so long in a day. I've got to breathe this air. I've got to drink from this river. I've got to behold Him who sits upon the throne. I've come to be thankful to the mediator of the new covenant, you. But there is a distance that the Lord desires to take us in the revelation of the one known as Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant in all of our lives. We're in Mount Zion. Let's return there, okay? The 14th chapter of the Revelation. Not necessarily in chronological order. John didn't necessarily write it that way, though he saw it that way. That's what's beautiful about it. It has to be spiritually understood. But we are spiritual people, aren't we? We've been born from above, meant to be people. By the way, spiritual isn't cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. Let me just step down back to earth for a second. All right? Here. And I'll talk about him in a little bit. But when Peter writes that we were a peculiar people, it didn't mean that everybody on the job couldn't stand you. Or they knew you were from Cornerstone because you're just weird. Strange. You're not even humanoid. Oh no, please. He became the reality of human. It means, Peter's description is, he wanted them to understand that they were a purchased possession. He saw them precious. That's us. That's what the peculiar treasure is. So please, as we become spiritual, we're going to find out that we are will be more grounded than we've ever been. Okay? Revelation chapter 14, first seven verses. We'll just stay there tonight. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. We're back in Mount Zion, aren't we? With him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the beast and the elders. And no man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. Now, when I first read this, the first time I read it, and then when I read it again, I thought, well, that disqualifies me, but that is not what it's saying. So take heart, my friend. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having, poorly translated with this interjection, it should be a everlasting gospel, not the everlasting gospel. A everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. This is what Cornerstone is called to do. Yay. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Let's pray. Next verse begins in the earth. Can't go there yet. Father, I thank you for the beauty of the simplicity of the gospel. What a remarkable thing you have done. The prophets throughout the ages have spoke of a coming one, a Messiah. They anticipated Ben Judah, a conquering king. They weren't wrong. But they did not know that you were coming as Ben Joseph, as a suffering servant. Father, I pray tonight that we, the redeemed that you have purchased off the earth, us, that we might have an eye to see, an ear to hear, and a passion, as we already have declared, to believe for more. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to walk through it. Just stay with me, please. We're back on Mount Zion. John is writing. It isn't Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. When we come into this dimension of God, there is someone there. He is the central figure of it all. Everything revolves around him. He is the preeminent person. Everything of Mount Zion points to, directs to, and there he is, a lamb. It is a dimension of knowing Him that goes beyond the covenant keeper and the covenant maker. Every person who He redeems is in the covenant. What an honor! Even if we stay baby Christians, even if we stay disinterested and we eat of all the benefits and don't are interested in Him, He is still the covenant God. His blood speaks for all of us. It is unequaled. But it is the Lamb that He longs for all of us to behold. He was slain before there was a world found. Before there was anything, He was slain. He would come away from this place at the beckoning of Him who sits upon the throne. He would come away and step into this world. He could have came as a king, as a priest, as a prophet. No, He would come as a bond slave. He could have came as a full-grown man. He didn't have to have flesh, but He would be made just like His brothers. He would live just like every man. In a dark and awful day, He would walk in the earth. He would come for His Father's heart, His Father's love for His creation. He would sacrifice all for Him and for His creation, knowing that they would refuse Him, knowing that they would beat Him, knowing that they would crucify Him. He still came. He, throughout His life, humbled Himself. He was obedient from the beginning of His life, even 12 years old, when He knew more than His parents. He would wait until He's 30. The frustration of that. And for 3.5 years, He would demonstrate a kingdom that was invisible. He would demonstrate a God they thought was angry. He would demonstrate a realm that every man feared. Many men looked up here. Jacob looked up here. Isaiah looked up here. Daniel looked up here. But no man had ever come here. He came to let the world know that heaven was always to be in earth, and that His passion, His Father's heart, was that all men might come to know Him intimately, and He would be in their lives, and they would give Him glory. He in the earth walked out a life that was in the heart of the Father, that a man, human, could walk divine, and that He could represent a God, and He would gladly give His life for the sake of His Father's heart and His creation. He is the Lamb of God. He we have been purchased by. He has redeemed us. Him is who we're to see. He is what we are transformed into. He is the object of our passion and our life. He is the reason we live. He is the heart of it all. He is. Here, John sees a number. He sees 12,000 of 12 tribes. I have no problem. Redeem my Jewish brothers. I want to see it. But without question, it is a description of the government of God being established. It is multiples of 12. I can't dive deep into this section, but I want you to understand this about the government of God. It was always to increase, always, always, always. As much as He governed the first church in the world, as much as He governed those early apostles, His intent was to govern greater and greater and greater. Please don't think that the government of God is some narrow thing, some shackle. Oh, on the contrary, nobody walked freer than Him. Even when they beat Him and they said to Him, Do you not know by Pilate's words, I can save your life or I can take it? And he was a free man because he was governed by his father. And he said, I want you to know something right now. You can't take my life. I give it and it has been given to you. That's a free man. So here, we, please, are redeemed. What does it mean? We've been purchased and bought with a price. You see, when I first understood here, I was thankful that Jesus Christ was my mediator. Man, I just loved it. No matter how I went, I cried the first year. But then I began to see Him as the Lamb. Many see Him in the Revelation first chapter through the third chapter that He's got this white hair. I love when people do this. I said, what's that a picture of? That's Jesus. No wonder nobody comes to your bookstore. I'll say to them, not being argumentative, that's not Him. That's His ministry. You see, John sees Him in the earth. He's judging the churches, all seven of them. He's got fiery eyes. He's got a breastplate. He's got a look about Him. He's a judge. He ultimately, as we saw this morning, will judge the churches. He will, every generation. He isn't this conquering king right now either. He will come out in the 19th chapter of the Revelation on a white horse. Oh, He's going to be bad as ever. When everybody says to me, are we in the end days? We might be. But you look up to the sky, because when that dude comes out of the heavens on that white horse with the Word of God on him, look out, look out, look out, look out, look out. You thought he was bad when he was here. You haven't seen anything yet. The dude is the bad of the bad. But up here, we are not being transformed into judges or conquering kings. We are being transformed into the image of the Lamb of God. And He is constantly appearing, unveiling Himself. The more you're here, the more you see Him. He is here. I want to stay up here. My cry is, I want to see you. I want to know what you lived through. I want to know what you walked through. Of course, I'm fine to get it here. It's hidden in here. He is in this book. I'm longing for Him. I study and I look at it. There's this written word, but I long to see the living word. I want to be like the Lamb. I want to walk every day like you. I want to be you. That was the intent. That was the goal. It's why He came. So here He is. I know that He's increasing the government of God in my life. Is that an authority? Oh, yeah. It's royalty. Can't even touch it. It's royalty. It's dominion. It's kingship. But I know He's the royal one. He's the king. Once you touch the taste of Him, you don't walk in this earth with a big chest. Yeah. People say to me, Jay, the prophet's here. I'm like, don't say that about me. I'm a bond slave. That's it. I'm just trying to be a slave. Don't be giving me titles. Say what you want. I'm just teasing like that. But I'm not trying to be somebody here. I want to be Him. That's Him. So, I want you to see that something's happening up here. Most never get to this place. But it is God's intent for more! More than we've known. More than we've ever seen. That is His passion. When you're here, you know He's not interested in sticking His finger into the earth. If that's what you want, fine. He'll reach His hand in there. If that's what you want, fine. He'll reign. We don't want His hand or His finger or the reign. We want Him. Something's happening up here. There's a song being sung. John hears it. Harper's harping. I love this. I say this to all musicians, especially psalmists that get close to me. You see, John says that I heard it before the throne. No man could learn it except the 144,000 which were redeemed off the earth. Here's what he's saying. Every generation, there is a sound, a level and dimension of worship. There is a release of a sound in the heavens that God desires in the earth. Every generation. It isn't about beating and ripping a guitar, though I love it. It isn't about just hymns. It's not about silence. All of those things can be here, but He longs every generation to hear the revelation of God, the exaltation of God in the heavens. It will revolutionize us. Only the redeemed can gain knowledge from it. It's all in here. He begins to talk about the redeemed. Are you okay? He said, these are the redeemed. He goes on to say that no man can learn this, but they are here. They have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. What it means is this: since they've been brought here, they have never been given to idolatry. I believe that about them. We have been touched so by Him that He is first place. Many things may war against it, many things may fight it, but we have not been given to idolatry. I've yet to see anything built out here of a golden image by pastor. Have you seen anything yet? I don't think we are. But these are they. They have not been given to idolatry. Please hear this next statement out of this about them. It's about us. He's talking about us. He's talking about what He is long for His redeemed. They are beholding the Lamb. There's a release of a sound before the throne. No man can understand that. No flesh. Only the redeemed. They are have not been given to idolatry. They are virgins. They follow the Lamb wheresoever He goes. That's what you and I long for here in this earth. The word follow really is the word simply, they have chosen to be His disciples. Wherever the Lamb is going, they follow Him. It is my cry for my life. It is our cry for our lives. That we're in line with Him. We're in tune with Him. We're walking in His direction. What do you have for me? I have many people say to me, do you have a word for me? I love the prophetic word. I love guidance. I still need it. We need counsel. We need a multitude like that. We need our pastors. We need all that. But we ultimately want to be people who follow the Lamb. We want to be people that just aren't wayward in our lives, but we're clearly directed by Him. They follow the Lamb wheresoever He goeth. They are without guile. They are before the throne. Therefore, they are unblameable. Please hear the language. I so love the cross. It was here, the cross. It was in the earth. Here He was hung. Here He brought us through the cross. The cross and His broken body and His blood paved the way, opened the way as a forerunner. And a door was opened into the heavens. No man could come here. No man could ever reach this place. Only the redeemed now can come here. I'm thankful for that. But He has brought us to His throne. We live before His throne. It isn't a place of fearfulness. It isn't a place that I feel judged. It is a place that I understand He is God Almighty. He reigns and rules, and this world and the enemy in darkness does not prevail Him. I'm unblameable. We're unblameable here. So when I walk here, Jesus Himself said, they tried to judge Him. He says, you can't judge me. I've already been judged of my Father. Paul said the same thing. He goes, it's a small thing that you judge me. I've already been judged. He didn't come over here like we would think, come up to the heavens and You know, I always thought this. I stand over here, and then he's like this with me. You know, he'd have a list so long, it would run off the out of the heavens. Angels would be carrying it around. And my own angel who has to hang around with me, I probably have several because I need them. They're back there going, I don't know why I got this job. Couldn't I get somebody else like Linda? I mean, what's the story with this Pastor Sean? It would have been fun, easy. This guy, night and day, we got to be with him. He even walks around in his sleep. I mean, we do, they're just exhausted. Oh, no. It's nothing like that. I come before his throne. I want to kneel. I want to bow because he is majesty. He is glorified here. He is magnified. His throne is like no other. It is glorious. I must live here. This is the place of our habitation. This is why he has redeemed. See, I got a cry for my brother Brandon. Where are you? You here? Here he is, yeah. See, this sound, I hear it, but I can't lyric it. I can't write it. I've got to try to teach it and explain it. I've got to try to unfold and let it be heard. But I'll tell you, we get our young minstrels and psalmists to hear this sound. The world will be coming to the church to find out what is that. Something else has happened and I'm almost through. There's another angel John sees, and he has an everlasting gospel. This gospel is to be preached in the earth to every nation. Please know, angels do not preach the gospel. That is given to us. Not me, not him, not him, not Pastor Travis, Pastor Jason. It's an us thing. In us is the word of reconciliation. In us is the ministry of reconciliation. There's people in your life that you, I've not to preach, I've got to be part of this, but I share with people, I talk with people, I've got a word in my heart. I don't have just a Bible verse, we've got the word in us, and this word confirms Kim, and this word is in us, and we are in the earth to declare what God is saying. I love present truth. I love it. I love declaring what he's saying. That's why I love prophecy. He's breathing it now. He's declaring it now. I see it clearly. I love it. Man, he just cracks the door. I'm in. Now it's just an open door, but in the beginning I'd be like, yeesh. And he'd be like, whoa, Jay, I can feel that bit. We'll pull back. You got, some of you have it. I won't tell you who, but it's there. I needed to have a bit. So he goes, whoa, doggy. I want to close with this portion. So thankful that he has redeemed us. Could have redeemed anyone. He chose us and we said yes. We are his purchased possession that he sees as precious. He's brought us up here, and if we want to simply take part of the covenant of the mediator, that's fine with him. But he longs that the lamb that is there, that he become precious to us. When something is precious, it is all you think about. It's all you desire. It motivates in every life, every part of life. There is a word released, a song released, and it's the redeemed who hear it. He wants us all to hear this heavenly worship, the magnifying of God. When you hear it, it does something to you. I don't care what kind of music they produce down here or how great it is. I'm thankful. I give honor. Great song. Great musicians appreciate it. But I'm sorry. See ya. And it just makes me see him like I've never seen him. It makes us bow without question. It makes us long for him. It makes our heart beat. My heart is swollen. Why? I got to have him more, 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 more. we will not live in our generation with this great distance between our world and His world. It appears distant. This world's disinterested. This world doesn't know Him. This world's blind. This world is controlled. This world hates us. They don't know it. But the prince of this air, he knows all about this. Lucifer understands all of this. He wars against this because his fear is that this be that. He fears it. He fears it. He doesn't mind pat me on the butt a little bit and say, Jay, it's okay, preach a little bit. Don't get too nuts, but you go ahead and preach. I know I can't stop that. But don't be giving him glory. Don't be living like him. Don't be running like him. Don't chase him. Do that walk, slow walk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give him glory. Keep it down, Jay. Let the world go on as it is. It's ruined anyways. I'll tell you what. If you stay down here, you'll think like that. But as soon as you press into this place and you realize that Father's heart beats for that world since the day He created, and that Son, who is now a Lamb of God, longs for this world to know Him, and He has a body and we're part of it, and He's longing that I see Him and I'm transformed into that image. He doesn't mind that I be like Him. If I want to be less, that's my choice, but He wants us to be just like He is, was. He loves it. He wants it. He wants us not only to do what He did, but He wants us to do greater than He did. Yo, whoa. Who is this? So there's another angel. He has an everlasting gospel to be preached to all nations. It isn't a different gospel. Of course not. Let's not be foolish. It's this word fresh to that generation. I love it. What he needs to say to this generation couldn't be said to another one or another one. It still is centrality of Jesus Christ. It still has the same image, the same idea. But he wants to speak a clear word to the day we're living in. To the blind, to the halt, to the maimed. He wants the same word to the Nebuchadnezzars of our world. The same word to the Cyruses of our world. He wants them to stoke the fires. He's looking for just three who would be willing to say, yo, everybody could bow, but we're not. Yeah, yeah. The angel declares something, and I'm through with this portion. What he declares isn't to be preached in the earth. What he declares is for the redeemed to hear. I want to declare it to us from that place this evening. Here's what he says. First of all, he begins, fear God. Oh, I know the idea of the language is kind of like this. That's how we've been raised. Oh, no, 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 no. Here's the real translation. Keep him in awe. Keep him awe. Be awed by him. Be awed. He is awesome. Stay in awe of him. That's how it is. I can't help it. I get up from my place with him in the morning. Tired, slept 4 hours. Talk for 6 hours the day before. 2 Starbucks, still not cranked up yet. Thinking about getting another one. My head's like this and my body's like limp. I was hoping he would speak to me. Didn't. When he does, he does. When he doesn't, he doesn't. But I always leave that secret place of mine in awe. So I walk in the earth. I'm sorry. Jay, you're really going to face a big mountain. The mountain doesn't awe me. He awes me. Okay, you're facing a valley. Yeah, dark too. That's a fathead Goliath down there. Yeah. What do you think of that, Jay? You gonna go run and hide like some other Israelites? No. I'm gonna be like the young punk David, and I'm gonna keep him in awe. And I'll say to fathead, just like David said to fathead, hey, fathead, I'm coming into the veil. I'm going to cut your head off. You know what I'm going to do? It so that all the world will know there is a God amongst his people. Fear God. glory. But Brianna's now playing the guitar. Give him glory. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it's easy to thank you up here because, but even here, thank you. Thank you. See, it's here I got to keep him in awe. It's here I've got to give him glory. Thank you. Praise him. Oh, you don't know me well enough, but sometimes I'll be in the mall and something will be playing, some Michael Jackson, something, some song. I don't care what it is. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. And the kids look at me, yeah, cool, yeah, give me five. You know, sometimes they ask, what are you doing? I'm giving him glory. Now, I've had some Christians see me and turn the other way. Now, I don't get stupid. They don't kick me out. But I'll easily go down the beach many, many times. I'll be in the gym, too. This works in the gym. Get off the bench. Jay, what's going on? Shoulders a little stiff, just stretching it out. Yeah! Come on, I saw a lot of Baltimore Ravens fans going like this. Yeah. Thanksgiving praise. Adoration. I'm giving him glory. What's adoration? It's not an expression, really. But there's no question, if you follow Linda and I around, you're going to find out that I adore her. Oh, yeah. I'll be checking her out on the other end of the store. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another girl walk by and see me, and she'll look at me, and I'll be like this. Oops. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. Oh, I adore her. You know what's something you adore? It's a treasure. Treasured. I want you to know from my mouth, I adore you. Of course, it's worship. I can't bow down at work, they'll fire me. I can't lay prostrate, they'll fire me. Jesus said, I've glorified you in the earth. I says, when you sang one hymn, I don't understand. Then I understood, I see, your life was his. Therefore, even a step was worship. Even if you pick up a paper, it's worship. Even if you work hard, it's worship. Even whatever you do, we are becoming worshipers. We're not doing it anymore. We're going to have one more night up here. He has a dream about a woman, a church. He's longing, he has declared things here. One more night here, and on our final night, we're going to move into the earth. We're going to move into the earth, not with an arrogance, but with a passion that he holds deep in his heart. We're going to come with his heart. We're going to come with the power of the throne. We're going to believe for more in the earth. We aren't going to listen to its rage. We are not moved by its darkness. We're not moved by its claws. We're not moved by its governments. We're moved by the government of God. We're moved by the throne of God. And we will carry heaven into the earth. And we will declare what we have heard. And we will be sure. And we will not doubt. And we will believe. And he said it himself. If you do not doubt, ask. And I will do it. I don't want to stop you. You have no idea. I've just like been scratching the surface. We're in a few moments. Open up this altar tonight. Pastor and I talked a little. In a few moments, I just want to move a little bit. We're okay. 5-6 minutes. It'll be for this reason. I live here. In my earthly life, I live here. What is this? This is a place of sacrifice. This is a place of meeting with him. He always came down and revealed himself at the altar. Always did, all through history. When I saw that, I started building altars. I didn't start building them. I want an altar in here permanently. Here he draws up the sacrifice, but he always reveals his name on the sacrifice. Always has. All through history. I live here. I come here because I long to see Him. I long to behold Him. I want to know the Father like You knew Him. I want to know the Lamb like You know Him. I want to have the same intimacy that the Father and the Lamb had and have. That was John's prayer, that you would have the same intimacy. I want to know You like You know You. I want to begin believing more of the revelation of the Lamb of God and Him who sits upon the throne. I want to come tonight and begin to believe for more of the kingdom of God in us. I want us to come tonight and lay ourselves down and say, God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Cornerstone, be mighty, be magnified. Let us show the world again that there is no God like our God. Let us once again behold You. Do not bypass us, but use us. Bend our knee. Okay? That's an ugly picture. I really look old there. What kind of face that is? That's off that video. I told you I flew 6 hours, got up the next morning in time warp. And my nephew said, we got to film it this morning. And I said, okay, let's roll. I liked it though. Don't Google my name. All kinds of videos are on there. I'm looking for somebody that was in your group. Where is she? She's got the reddish hair. Is she gone? It's you. Yeah, there you are. I didn't see you there. Very nice. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Nobody really knows what the inner struggles have been in your life. Some of your dearest friends have known the inward struggle. Really, at 10 years old, it began and just follows you all the way up through your life. You never were crushed by them, but many of them hurt and wounded. Many of them made discouragement follow you and made it uncertain. But the Lord was already looking to redeem your life. Though many looked and did not see the treasure, even when you had to fight your way out of certain situations, they couldn't see the treasure. You, at a moment in your life, weren't really sure of your value either. You weren't sure. You questioned it yourself. You questioned if your life was worth really anything. But He came because He saw a precious young woman, and He longed to redeem her. He set the day and the time, and He came. And when you hit 19, young lady, was the beginning of the change of God in your life. And He is going to move upon you afresh. As difficult as it's been, because you're strong, girl. You can give an opinion about everything. And there was a time when you couldn't guard that mouth at all. It would just fly out and fly out and fly out. I mean, it just would. And you just told it how it was, and you had that flipper. And really, you began to watch it. Your love shifted. You had a love to be needed. You had a love to be wanted, though others couldn't really see it. You had almost a hole in your heart just for someone to accept you and love you. That's all you've longed for. And He came, and when He redeemed you, you understood that He loved you. You wept and wept and wept the first 3 months of your salvation. You just cried. Some of it was washing away some of the filth that you brought. The world gets on us. The world dirties us. We don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we can wallow in mud and never realize we're there. We think it's a nice bed, but it's really mud. We don't know. But when He redeemed you, He began to wash you. By tear He washed you. By His word He washed you. He was declaring you His chaste virgin, His bride, part of His people, a longing for a young woman. And I want you to know, girl, God is moving in your direction. He's going to cause financial things to change, the pressing need for education, all these things that you're warring through and working through now. You're going to see Him move in your behalf. You will not have to worry about your life. You have no idea, because even when you called Him, you were uncertain. But it was in those, right after the 20-year-old, He began to woo you, and you came, and you surrendered your life to Him. And you said, I'm yours. And He had such delight. See, many people don't know I have the advantage, and I'm so thankful for it. But there's times that I see His movement off of His throne. There's many times that I know His feeling and His emotion. I can't declare it sometimes in words, though I try. That's why I want us to live here. When you hear and feel His heart, you are never the same again. And you don't realize now how his heart beat for you and in your direction, and the love and the beat that he has had for you. Girl, I'm telling you now, hear it by his word, that from this day forward, you will not have to worry about family, life, future. You just walk with him, girl, and he will command every mountain that stands in your way to be made a plain, and every valley he will speak to, and it'll be made a plain. And God, even now, is making your way straight. He will bring the love and the family that you so long for, and he will replace the father that you so cried over, that you so needed and wanted and loved. He is coming to father you like never before. He is creating at once a young girl who lost her childhood, and he's speaking to a woman at the very same time. At the same time, he is causing the woman to relive her childhood and to come up into father's arms and to hear father's heart and to hear father's love. And at the same time, he's creating a woman in his image. At the same time, yo, only God can do that. Only God can do that. That's why he's God. But you've got to know he is yours, and he will cause a passion for him to enter your life, and God will use you in counseling broken families, broken lives, and he's already begun to lay upon you the ability to counsel, to see, to understand. Whether you want to be a nurse or a counselor or an educator, you will always be involved in people's lives to see the restoration and the recovery of God. He is causing you to be a woman of restoration, reconciliation, and reviving, including with that, but it's going to be more of the redeeming of the lives that are broken. Not just black, not just white, not just Asian, not any shade of color. He was making you a woman that he can give you to every creed, every race, every people. Beautiful. My sister right here in the blue hat. Mama. Mama. None of these young ladies have known the life you've lived. They have no idea that you were born in a dark place and lived in a very dark place. Not only around you, but right in your own home, even as a young child, as a young girl. Only they have no idea. You're not one to constantly say, well, you don't know how life is. You should see it. You're not. There are times you've brought it up and you've said to even the ones that you love, honey, you've got it good. Please believe me. But you've never been one to do that. But I want you to know that God is reaching back. There are no open wounds in your life, if there were, I would say. And many people walk through things in their life that the wound never heals. It continually oozes. That's trouble. That's gangrenish. You're losing something. You're losing your life when someone's like that. That hasn't happened to you. But the markings have caused the limp. The markings have caused a costly thing for you. And you lived without a lot because of it. A lot of love and a lot of relationship you just lived without because of those years and those days. When you reached 13 years old, it got more desperate than any young girl could ever imagine. 13, 14, and 15 years old were some of the most difficult years of your life. You don't even want to talk about them. God redeemed you out of that. But here's what I want you to know, young lady. God is reaching back to heal the wound, to take away, to return what was stolen, what was taken, what was robbed. God is returning it to you. And this is the beginning of a life, but I want you to understand this. As though God is going to cause your womb to once again live, and a young woman that is able to stand before the Lord and pray and believe, not just for her own, but for the neighborhood. A young woman who knows what it's like to be trafficked, if you will. A young woman who understands what it costs out there in that world and how gracious God can be even to those who have been wounded and wrecked and beaten and taken and stolen. He is causing you. It wasn't him that walked you through that. It wasn't his idea. People do what people say. Even the ones who say they love us most of the time disappoint us. But God has reached into that place and he redeemed you out. He has redeemed you out. But he has begun the healing process and restoring your womb that was taken, and all that was taken from your womb, God's causing it to live again. It doesn't mean natural children. I'm not by any means saying that or referring to that. But a spiritual place where you will believe God. Your mysticism has followed your mother, your grandmother, and your great-grandmother. That's why the darkness came. They were mystical people. That's how it traveled. But with you, God was breaking it and causing it no longer to be of a darkness, but to be of a light. And this will be the beginning of your heart crying out to God and believing God. And young lady, you will stand as a midwife, seeing God redeem, watching God birth into the world, watching the young Moses and the Esthers and the Joshuas that God is going to bring to this place. And you will be one of the prayer persons. You won't stand up. If I come up here and you start trumpeting your sound, don't do that. You're always going to be hidden, even though it's hard to keep you quiet. But it'll be in the hidden place, like every midwife, that God will lay in you a seed and you will incubate it, travail over it, and God will birth and He'll birth and He'll grow and He'll conceive and He'll cause things to be. This is the beginning, because you have nieces and you have this extended family, stretches into other countries, and that seed God has taken your life and He is commanding the darkness to dispel. And He will begin to release all who are part of your life, all who have come through your lineage. They do not know it now, but your willingness to walk with your God, they will be rewarded by it. My young friend, beautiful on the keyboards, love it. Really good. Sorry I got on this side of the room, I apologize. There are always members in a church, always. There are always people in a church. That's what makes a church, it's people. His cry and passion, though he has many children, he's always longing for sons. My father was glad that he had me, but he couldn't wait for me to become a son. Of course, I was 17 and he was still wondering, and I was 19 and he was still wondering. Because I was still a child, a boy. And what God is doing, my young friend, is He is causing you to be a son of the house. You understand the language. You see that young man, where is he? Where is he? My guitar. See that young guy over there? I've talked about him. See that guy with the beard? Pretty good looking. He married up, though. Look at his wife. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Who? Hey. Just want to make sure you're tracking with me. You see, that young man is a son of the house. I want you to know how rare it is. This is the word of the Lord, but I'm just saying it to you in this form. She knows how I cry for sons. His cry out of the prophet Isaiah is that your sons would marry you. That's my cry, because it was the prophet's cry. It means that those sons and daughters, but his people, would not simply take from him and get from him and be a part of him, but they would marry him, that they would love him more than anything. That, my young brother, God has brought you to this house, not just to be a keyboardist, not just to be a part of the music, not just to be part of the crowd, not just part of the group, but He's causing you to become a son of the house, raised with the house passions, the house dynamics, causing your feet to root in deep. Doesn't mean you're not in school here and there at times, but it is in this place that God is going to raise you up and cause you to stand with the team, eventually stand with the rebuilding of the house, eventually stand and be numbered amongst David's mighty. That is the plan and destiny of God. Understand the direction. Understand the word of the Lord. Understand the time that you're in. Understand the season that you're in. God is, as it were, pressing you through the birth canal. He's allowed you to lay in the womb and be comfortable and be nourished. But He's moving you through the birth canal, and He's causing you to come out from everything that you are His, that He might do within you His longing. My friend, you'll be strong in the Word, and you'll be strong in the understanding of the law of God. That's how He wants to make you. Already you're that way. You're a thinker. You're not just staring at me like that. You are. You're a thinker, an evaluator. You really are. You're technical. That's just how you do everything. That makes it hard for relationships, though, because everything's technical. If you want to drive in the car, you want to know where you're going. Some people just get in, and wherever it goes. I don't like that. I got to know where I'm going. Believe it or not, I'm technical. But God is going to begin to grace you, my friend, and He's going to begin to reveal Himself to you. But I just want you to know, and I just want you to know, that this is the beginning of part of the harvesting, is that this house was always destined for sons, and it was always that way, even when the former pastor was here. I'm still talking to you. But he is beginning to cause it to be a house of his sons, the house of David's mighty. He is creating, if you will, a cave of Adullam, where those that are destitute, those who are in debt, those who are in need, they come looking for the king. It was the beginning of the new dimension of God. And my young friend, what an honor that God has selected you and brought you to be part of David's mighty, a conquering man, a victorious young man. God will take care of your home, house, love, your life. You have no idea of the vastness He will do for you and prosper you beyond your wildest imagination. Even now, you working at ideas and inventing and doing things and strategying. But you give your life to Him and you walk before Him and you allow Him to do His work. He will cause all the things to be more than you could ever imagine. Stand with me, please. We went a little beyond the 8:15, but we're still open now. This began for me probably in the middle 1980s, probably around there. I just talked to Linda a little bit. I started to read the Revelation because I was beholding Him. Just some men have said to me, well, it's only apostles get to see Him. Someone said to me, only prophets get to see Him. They say to me, Jay, that's why some of this stuff goes on. I'm sorry. No, I tell them. Apostles need to come. Prophets, God help us. Pastors, absolutely. But I want you to know that our great God redeemed us all. That we would live and dwell in a dimension that was only His. And He's created a door in that heavens that you and I could come. No matter where you are tonight, heavy laden, burdensome, yoked, He would say to His disciples, come unto Me, you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ask of Me, and I will teach you. He said, learn of Me. So tonight, we want to open up the altars, okay, if I do it this way. I want us to begin tonight where He began with us. Without us realizing it, the day that we said yes, He took us to Himself. That's where He always wanted us to be. So tonight I'm asking for the altar to be opened. Come with a cry. Come with a want. Come with a need. Come with a need for healing, for wholeness. It doesn't matter why you come. He just said, come. But in your coming, please have a cry. I want to see You. 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 Don't live without all He has done for us. Brandon, you want to come and play, my brother? You want to do your song? You know which one? You know which one. As He begins, if you want to wait a few minutes, I would run up here, but I'm already here. I'm believing for more. We sing a song, I guess it's because something like, I don't know, more love, more power, more of You. We sing it. As He begins to sing, could we come with a new passion? We're believing for more. My life, my family's life, the life of our church, the life of our community, the life of the church in America. We're believing for more than we could ever, ever, ever dream. Please start. The altar is open. Please, my brothers, come. Let us behold Him. sits upon the throne and the Lamb.
My eyes have seen the King, Almighty, greater than the fears I face. My heart has found the one who saves me. He gave his life to set me free. And exalted our God, holy and awesome is He, now and forever He reigns, He desperation deep within, calling in my heart has been revealed. To be broken, to be made a sacrifice, to be holy, to be pleasing in your eyes. So bend my will, bend my ways, I surrender to your reign. Use our lives, use our days to glorify your name. Bend my will, bend my ways, I surrender to your reign. Use our lives, use our days to glorify your name. Church for the world, see your kingdom come, oh, to be broken, to be made a sacrifice, to be pleasing, to be pleasing, to be pleasing in your eyes. My will, bend my ways, I surrender to your reign. Use our lives, use our days to glorify your name. Bend my will, bend my ways, I surrender to your reign. Use our lives, use our days to glorify your name. Bend my will, bend my ways, I surrender to your reign. Use our lives, use our days to glorify your name, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you move from your throne, draw near to us, Lord. Come draw near to us, Son of God, Son of Man, we crying out to see more.
Yourself to the Lord tonight. Just press into Him in a really allowing yourself to be broken, allowing yourself to be fully on the altar, and ask. Let's ask that the Lord would come. Let's ask that the Lord would open our eyes. Open the door, lift my